South African religious leaders have a proud record, certainly they did during apartheid, of calling out the wrongs of those in power, speaking truth to power. Desmond Tutu, Beyers Nordier, Alan Busack, Frank Shekani, Trevor Huddleston, Peter Story, Chief Rabbi Cyril Harris. But in recent years, those voices seem to have been stilled, apart from occasionally Archbishop Thabo Makgoba and today's guest, Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein. Rabbi, thank you for joining us today. You certainly have been amplifying your voice strongly by using social media. I notice a few of your recent videos, over 200,000 views. Now, we know from Biz News TV that 200,000, that's a sizable audience. When did you decide to actually start doing this, getting onto social media and more particularly onto YouTube?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the point that you raise is critical because this is not just about politics. Sometimes, you know, people think that the debates in the country about politics and economics, but both of those and everything that we are facing, they really are moral issues. And I think that's why it's so important for religious leaders to speak up, because there are issues of human suffering that, you know, we were talking about education problems, that 8 out of 10 children of the age of 10 cannot read in this country, that the state hospitals are in a situation where their service that they provide is so undignified to recipients of that service that it's a moral disgrace. These are not just operational issues. They are moral issues. And I think that's why it is so important. Of course, with social media, what that allows is, as you know, you have demonstrated and many others, is that one can go straight to the people. When, you know, they don't have to be filters, they don't have to go through the established media, can talk directly to the people of this country. And I think that's the privilege, but also the responsibility of our times to be able, you know, to speak up on these moral issues.
It's quite extraordinary, actually, if you think about the talks or that you do on YouTube. To put 200,000 people into a stadium, you'd have to get, what, 3 Ellis Parks full to the brim to get those kind of that kind of an impact. But really, the big question, I guess, before we go more into detail of what you've been talking about, is why the leaders from the spiritual sector, who were so strong during apartheid, have been largely absent, as I mentioned in my intro.
I think, you know, in the times of apartheid, there was a clarity. There was a clarity of good versus evil. It was absolutely clear. And in a sense, therefore, it was only a matter of courage. I say only because courage is no small matter. But today, things appear more murky. But in fact, the moral issues are just as clear. It's very important. Ultimately, we need to distill. Apartheid was uniquely evil in that it was a regime that was based on a legal system. It was racist. It was evil in the extreme. And there was a certain openness about it. Today's moral failings in the society, which are the responsibility of the government, and I think this is the critical point here. We need, and that's where religious leaders, we have to speak out on these issues, and I would call on my colleagues to do so. We have to be able to say that if we have a murder rate in this country of 27,000 people a year, you know, which means that 70 are murdered every single day, that's a moral issue. That's not just a question. And what I think is there's a certain heartlessness about this government in the way, the lack of empathy for human suffering. And we have to talk about that, because if we want to build a better country, and we can, and I believe so passionately in the people of South Africa, and that's why, to me, social media, talking directly to the people, is the way forward. We need to go directly to the people. That we are a nation of heroes and can create a better future, but we have to call out the wrongs as we see them.
What about talking directly to God? Now, this is an interesting question, because someone in your position would believe 100% in the power of prayer. We've got an election coming up on the 29th of May. There are many people in South Africa, by far the majority, who do believe in God. Should they be praying?
Certainly. You know, and I think this is an important point that you raise, Alec, because to my mind, one of the greatest things South Africa has going for us is that we are a nation of people of faith. as you said, the vast majority of South Africans are people of faith. Churches in every corner of this country, from north to south, east to west. And I think it is so important, prayer, the power of prayer for sure, but also the power of the values represented by the Bible. And I think, to me, this is where the government has betrayed our people, because the values of the Bible are critical values to help build a better society for the future. Values of integrity, hard work, family, commitment, loyalty, self-sacrifice, discipline. These are critical values, but also values of compassion and kindness, charity, truly caring for another human being, and building a better country together. There's a deep reservoir of these values in South Africa, and we need to tap into them.
So that's a good background, or a good segue, for what you've been doing recently. There are people in South Africa who are very angry with you because of the stance you have on Israel, and we'll unpack that in a moment. But in the past week or so, you've visited the United States, spoken to an organization which calls itself America's Pro-Israel Lobby. You took that opening address that you gave to them, to AIPAC, and put it onto your channel. In 7 days, 126,000 people have already watched it. What was your message to those Americans? And indeed, what can we as faith-believing South Africans, or South Africans of faith, take from it?
I gave two messages, both which are critically relevant to our country and to our continent. Number one is that one of the most unnoticed human rights crises in the world is the jihad persecution of African Christians on this continent. I was in Washington just a few days after the school children were kidnapped in Nigeria from Kuriga, and reminding the audience that those who were kidnapped in 2014, many of them are still missing. And where's all the coverage in the world? No one even knows about this. To me, the disgrace is, where's the voice of our South African government on these issues? In Mozambique, ISIS Mozambique is going into villages and doing what Hamas did in the south of Israel, beheading people, kidnapping, raping, pillaging, because Hamas is the ideological brothers in arms with Boko Haram, with ISIS, with Al-Shabaab on this continent. And it's a human rights crisis which is unfolding in Africa. How is it possible that a government that holds itself to be a leader in the African Union, this South African government, where is President Ramaphosa on this? Where is Minister Naledi Pandor on the crisis here in Africa? So firstly, I brought this to the attention of the Americans and said, it may be that our South African government has forgotten about the people of Africa, but it was a plea to Americans, take note of what's going on in this continent. That was number one. And number two was, don't write off South Africa. Don't see this country as the sum total of this ANC government. This ANC government does not represent the values of the people of this country. And I said to them, come and see South Africa for yourself, and you will see a great nation with values that are actually very deeply connected to the values that made the United States a country of peace and prosperity. Values which are found in the Bible, values part of our shared religious traditions, of the Judeo-Christian values that informed the founding fathers of the United States, but also, as we were referring to, all of the millions of people of faith across the length and breadth of South Africa.
Most people would say Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, these are extremists. These aren't, this is not Islam, that Muslim people are generally, like Christian people generally, have faith in God, in a monotheist God, and want to get about their lives in an integrous manner. And these people are very angry with you because of the pro-Israel stance that you have very publicly taken. How do you react to them?
Well, firstly, this is not about a particular religion. It's not about Islam or Christianity. These groups represent an extremist form of this ideology, of this jihadist ideology. It is a real threat. It may be extreme, and it may be that you know, majority and the vast majority even of people of faith, Muslim, Christian, Jews would disavow such violence. But nevertheless, it remains a threat. And actually, what's happening in Israel with Hamas's war against Israel is part of a global issue. When I speak about it, I'm also speaking against the injustice of the way that the world and many countries, and particularly South African government, has conducted its relationship with Israel and in global international affairs. But I'm also speaking about an issue which affects all of us and in this continent, because the reason that Hamas poses a threat to Israel is because it is an Iranian proxy, as is Hezbollah, as is the Houthis. There is a global war against democratic free values, which is happening across the Middle East. It's happening in Europe. We saw it now in Russia. It's happening across the African continent. And this South African government represents a country that has a free democratic constitution, that has peace-loving people. These are global issues because there's a global war. And those that want to throw Israel under the bus, what they're actually doing is bringing this danger closer to the civilized world, because what Israel is on the front lines against this war against extremism and people of goodwill. And I want to use this opportunity to reach out. I sit on the National Religious Leaders Council with colleagues of all different faiths. And ultimately, we need people of good faith and goodwill to come together to condemn extremism and to find a way forward in the world and to support free democracies. Ultimately, there are two groups of nations and countries in the world. There are free democracies and there are despotic regimes. And the free democracies represent the hope for the future of humanity. Unfortunately, this government has sided with the despotic regimes of Iran, China, and Russia, to the point where Minister Naledi Pandor, when asked in the United States, and this was noted in a Wall Street Journal editorial, when she was asked, is Iran a despotic regime, an authoritarian regime, she would not give an answer. She could not give an answer clearly that it is an authoritarian regime. You should have her on and ask Minister, and I'll throw this question out, let her tell the South African people, does she believe Iran is a free country, a free society, a free democracy? Like President Ramaphosa, who sent congratulations to President Putin on his re-election, in inverted commas, as the president of Russia. Can you imagine? And that is a betrayal of the free society and the great constitution that we have here in South Africa. And that affects our prospects as a country for success. We're on the wrong side of history here because of this ANC government.
Is it not just naivety? Is it evil? Because if you are saying that Putin was elected in a free and fair election, then you really haven't been paying attention. Perhaps I'm trying to find a bit of a devil's advocate here. Perhaps it is South Africans are too trusting and too naive and sometimes believing the incorrect narrative. But do you believe that it is just pure evil that the ANC has become?
Well, let me say this about before, you know, the ANC is not a monolithic organization. And I've had many messages of support from senior members within the ANC and supporters for some of the messages that I've been putting out. It's not a monolithic organization. One can go into the motivations of why people do things, but the bottom line is to form an alliance with countries such as Russia, Iran, and China, despotic regimes, crush the freedom and the dignity of their people, to be utterly silent in the face of the persecution and the murder of fellow Africans. That indeed is evil. And it betrays our people. I'm saying the actions themselves, you know, what people and what motivates people to do things, I can't penetrate into the hearts of human beings. But I can say this, these actions are evil. And I can say another thing, South Africa deserves better. Because, and let me say this, it is no less evil, in my opinion, than the heartlessness with which this human suffering in our country, here in South Africa, is treated. You know, today, Alec, as we are talking, 70 people are going to be murdered in South Africa. 70. That's more than in Gaza today. Okay? So now, where is the sense of the pain and the outrage of our government who are responsible for this? Because the murder rate on their watch has doubled under this government. And let me say this. any member of the National Executive Committee of the ANC put out one question, and you can ask them. This is the question I put. Do any one of you use the government for your children and for your family? Do you use government hospitals? Do you use government schools? And do you rely on the government security in your neighborhood? Or do you go to private schools? Do you use private medical care? And do you use private security? And the answer is for sure 100% private. I don't believe there's one member of the ANC, NEC, that would put a member of their family in a government hospital. Now, that is heartless, because then they're saying these government hospitals and the government schools and the government provided security for this nation, that's good enough for the human fodder of the South African people. That itself is heartless. There's a cruelty in that. So, you know, the behavior of linking up with despotic regimes, in my opinion, is consistent behavior with the heartlessness displayed to human suffering. How does the president and the members of his cabinet sleep at night when they know that another 70 people are going to be murdered in the next 24 hours? How do they sleep at night when they know when people are waiting in queues in the government hospitals and they will die in those queues and they will be in beds that have no sanitation and no cleanliness, and children will attend schools where 8 out of 10 10-year-olds cannot read? How do you sleep? I don't understand how you sleep at night. And that, to me, is actually the moral outrage. We were talking about religious leaders speaking out. These are moral issues. It's got nothing. It's not about politics and elections. This is about a moral issue that has to be called out, because we need to build a better future for our country, and I believe we can.
Chief Rabbi, before we leave, you did bring out another video a little earlier, a month or so ago, where you called out the South African banks and MTN. Now, I know you are well connected, given the overachieving of the Jewish community in the South African business field. So if anybody knows what's going on, I'd tip you to be the one who knows that. Let us in on a little more, because when I spoke to CEOs of the banks, they said, definitely not. We are definitely not funding terror groups. MTN, I'm still waiting for a response from them, although they did promise they would, and I've heard nothing. But fill us in a little more about what's going on there and how you know that it's true.
Well, let's just start with MTN as the last thing. There is a case now happening in the United States court in Brooklyn where MTN is being sued by the family members of United States Marines killed in Afghanistan, because MTN is in a partnership with the Iranian Republican Guard. Never mind not just the Iranian government, the Iranian Republican Guard, which is the largest state-funded terror organization in the world. Now, the accusation before the American courts is that MTN switched off the network in Afghanistan at critical times at the request of the Iranian Republican Guard, and United States Marines died in those battles. So that is out there in open court. By the way, President Cyril Ramaphosa was the chairman of MTN when this partnership was entered into between MTN and the Iranian Republican Guard. All of that's going to come out. So that's there in open courts. I'm not surprised that MTN hasn't responded to you, because I think they've got a big job on their hands defending that in court. With the banks, I've had discussions with some of the CEOs. I'd invited them to come and meet with me, and some of them have come, and we've had discussions. And they've said, as you have said, that the same thing that they told you, that they're bound by confidentiality law. Secondly, they're part of a global system of finance, so that even though the South African government does not regard Hamas as a terror organization, the global community does, which by the way, is its own shameful state of affairs, where our own government does not recognize what the whole world knows is a terrorist organization. But they can't, you know, obviously show me that evidence. But the investigations continue. I've seen evidence that was presented to me, from some of the sources of the Jerusalem Post who covered the original story. And there are a number of organizations overseas who are interested in and work on this issue of terror funding, and are looking into this case, organizations such as Shurat Adin and others, who have already begun sending letters to the banks and are looking into it. But let me say this. If you look back, and there are many articles in The Economist, in The Telegraph, in global publications that identify South Africa as a hub for global terror funding. That is a security threat to our country. So we need to get on top of this as a society. It's something that affects all of our safety. We know that South Africa is grey listed. The South African Reserve Bank needs to take this, very seriously. And the process continues. It's not something that that I intend to stop working on. To be clear, there are organizations who are already investigating this overseas, writing to the South African Reserve Bank and to the banks here. I'm not an investigative journalist. I'm not a prosecutor. But I am a religious leader, as we began our conversation. And this is a moral issue. It's a moral issue if funding is being provided. The banks say that they haven't. The Jerusalem Post, which is a very reputable global publication, based on sources, says that they are. This is something that the process is ongoing, and it's very, very important for the safety of our country and for the concept of right and justice that this matter not be dropped at all.
Chief Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.